Hey guys, welcome to Love People and Make Money. I'm Kelly McCauzy. I'm your host. I'm so glad I get to spend some time with you today. Before we jump into this episode, I do need to issue a profanity warning. I am swearing in this episode. I have marked the episode explicit, so I want to give you a little countdown so that if you have any little ears in the room and you're not wearing headphones, you can get those headphones on or find a time to listen when they're not around. So, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, no little ears, right? I've written a book with some co-authors, and the name of the book is Get Past Your Shit. Yeah, I'm going to say shit a lot in this episode and in the upcoming episodes where I'm interviewing my co-authors. I might even let the F word fly. So, yeah, that's why I have this little warning in the head of the episode. I'll put this warning on every episode where I swear. I don't always swear. So, you know. But this book, the name of the book is Get Past Your Shit. Yeah, you're going to hear the word. Shit means fears, insecurities, circumstances, limitations, perceived limitations, all the things you let stop you from doing what you want to do in your life and in your business. So rather than say fears, insecurities, circumstances, and perceived limitations, I just say shit. I'm inviting you through these interviews and through the book project to get past your shit. Whew! Let's go. Hey guys, welcome back to Love People and Make Money. This is episode number 49, and I'm interviewing Karen Robinson, another one of my co-authors on the Get Past Your Shit book project. I am loving this. What a perfect way to celebrate the completion of the book, talking one-on-one with each of the precious people who said yes to my invitation to bear their shit to the world. I noticed that when we drop all the self-protective nonsense and just say, here's my situation, and it sucked. it invites people into our lives and makes them take a look at themselves. Like, what if I got that real? Would I find the same kind of support and encouragement that they did? And the answer is, I sure hope so. The reason that we hide and protect our shit is often related to some experience of being real and vulnerable early in life and feeling unsafe or having somebody completely use it against us. At some point in my life, I know I decided, this stuff is not for others. They can't be trusted with it. I need to hide my fears. I need to pretend I don't have insecurities. I need to deny everything that's wrong with my life so that no one else can hurt me. I learned that lesson so well that I actually started to believe all of that shit. But the amazing freedom that comes from letting it all be what it is, owning my shit, sharing my fears and insecurities, acknowledging sometimes that circumstances just suck, admitting my perceived limitations, just holding it all as this is who I am. This is Kelly. This is Kelly as I know her. Now what? just an incredibly powerful season in my life because other people could relate to me where I was at. Instead of relating with my mask and my false bravado, they could get to know the real me. The risk of doing that is freaking intense. But you know what? 9 out of 10 times, I was accepted, shit and all, by the people around me. And because they were relating to the real me, I actually felt the truth of their acceptance. And I could ask the next question, you know, now what? Now that I'm showing up real in the world and I'm being accepted by most, now what? Now what do I want to do? I want to get past this shit to create what I want in the world. I love this project. I love this project for us as entrepreneurs, as content marketers and community builders. You cannot consistently create compelling content and build an amazing, warm, intimate community of people who know, like, and trust you and spend money with you. You can't do that successfully to full potential without getting past your shit. So, man, I do have another author to introduce you today. Let's just jump in to my conversation with Karen Robinson. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I am joined now by my guest, Karen Robinson. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Kelly.
Karen, your website is Heal, Thrive, Dream. Your business is Heal, Thrive, Dream, LLC. You're in Virginia. Mm-hmm. Tell me about Karen. What do you do?
What do I do? So I guess the best way to describe me is I was born a feminist and a mother and a therapist. So I wear those hats pretty well, I think. I love to serve and to help. I love having children and being married. It took me a while to get the right person, but I have him now. Mm-hmm. And I've been a therapist. I am maybe 22 years post-master's at this point. And so I really love my career. It is draining yet rewarding. I went to a dream builder conference about a year ago, and that's where I learned, like, you're so gifted at what you do. You need to make a larger impact on the world. And then also that would lead to leaving a legacy for my family and living a larger life in terms of having more financial freedom, being able to give like I want to give and live the way I want to live. So that's how I started Heal, Thrive, Dream. I just came up with the name in my head in 1 second, and then I Googled to make sure nobody else had it, and nobody else did. Got my domain, and my goal with the company is to focus on the healing of trauma survivors, especially career moms. A lot of career moms kind of fake it till they make it. They go, 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 go. They don't often stop to get help. So I want to make a community for them, like an online membership where I can serve them, do education, support, some coaching, but not overwhelm them. You know, have really like drip content every month that paces so they're realizing how much of an impact trauma can have on your whole life and everything you do, the decisions you make, your communication, how you take care of yourself or not, your body image, your self-worth. I mean, the list is endless. It literally impacts every single area of a person's life. So I want to walk that journey with them. That's me in a nutshell.
So context for my listeners, Karen is one of my co-authors in the Get Past Your Shit book project. So when she talks about women and trauma, when she talks about trauma, she's not just speaking from a professional point of view, she's speaking from a personal point of view. Would you agree with that, Karen?
Absolutely.
You tell your story in the book. You are chapter 20. And I'm so honored to have you in the story. Have your story in the book. It was a edge of my seat compelling read for me. Thank you for being part of it.
That's very flattering. Thank you.
Do you say trauma impacts, you know, every area of your life. Do you think women realize this? Or do you suspect that some women are unaware of how past trauma impacts them?
I think most women are unaware unless they've been in therapy for a while. And then it's like a lot of aha moments, mm-hmm. you know, because otherwise they think it's just flaws that they have, you know, like, kind of like when you're a kid, when you think the world is either good or bad. So good things happen to good people. So you must be bad if trauma happened to you. Mm-hmm. We don't really quite grow out of that. You know, we do know logically, like, okay, life is not fair and bad things do happen to good people. But still on an emotional level, we still carry that with us. And then, of course, we find evidence, right? We mess up here and there. And we take it as evidence that, oh, maybe so-and-so in my family was right. I'm not meant to accomplish things. So, yeah, I do think most women don't know. Or they may know, like, okay, yeah, the trauma impacted my body image. But they may not understand that it impacts their decisions that they make or how they get along with others. You know, they may not understand why it's hard to trust people that they should trust, right? Mm-hmm. They think there's something wrong with them.
I completely accept everything that you just said. And I know I walked around in extreme denial about the impact of trauma in my life. Growing up, I was abused. My parents were alcoholics. Some really tough, rough and tough things happened to me when I was young. And then I walked into a lot of rough and tough things as a young adult. Mm-hmm. And I have a strong, obstinate streak. And so my reaction is, doesn't bother me. You know, when someone would say to me, oh, you poor baby. Like, oh my gosh, that must have been so hard. My reaction was always, I'm fine. You know, that didn't hurt. You can't make me cry. And so, yeah, complete denial mm-hmm. that false bravado was a big, tough, you know, leathery skin that kept me from acknowledging what I was really feeling about it. Mm-hmm. And then that led to such a concerted effort to continue to hide from the pain. Yeah. So in your work, You're working with people who have been through trauma to help them unpack it?
Yes. What I'm finding with a lot of people and doing my research, you know how you're supposed to study your niche and all that, and get into different groups and forums, listen to other people, is a lot of women and some men too, they are so depressed and so riddled with anxiety that they're suicidal. And so like, I didn't want to write about that. Obviously it's like, cause I do it for my full-time job too with, war survivors, combat vets and things who are also often trauma survivors themselves from their past. I wanted to work on more of the communication and building intimacy, you know, more hopeful, fun things, but I don't think I can get away from the suicide thing. I have to have it as part of it because even professional women, they get low too.
Yeah.
And have thoughts. So that's been a little bit of like, okay, I have to look at the whole picture, not just pick and choose what I like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm like you in a lot of ways. Like my boss describes me as a hard charger. Like, oh, that, you know, like there's not anyone's going to make over on me very easily. You know, I've got a strong personality. I'm an advocate for myself and for my clients, but you know, there's that other piece, right? The other side.
Yeah. I have someone close to me that's a powerful professional woman, succeeding in her career, pursuing a degree, holding up all the balls, you know, and then one day she swallowed a bunch of pills and made a desperate phone call, which of course led to her not being successful with a suicide attempt. I think, like, if someone is trying to help a woman, like my friend, playing around with feel good positives, you know, I know for a fact because I was there in her life, like day by day on the surface, everything looked fine because that's what she wanted us to see.
Yeah.
And then boom, here's the moment, you know, and it's interesting. I freaking adore that when someone has let all of their shields down and just says, hell with it, here you are, here it is. And after her suicide attempt, she just did that. She let down every shield and just said, okay, here's the sitch.
That's so healing just in of itself.
Yeah, yeah, here, you know, here I am. Yep, I did it. Yep, I wanted to kill myself. I hate myself. I hate my whole freaking life. Never been real with you, even once. This is a sitch. And where other people might be like freaked out about that, I'm just like, yes, a real person. Oh shit. Like it was amazing. I had such respect for that because I don't have a tremendous amount of experience with friends being suicidal, but just what I'm aware of and hear stories about is that it feels kind of rare. Because there's this moment where it seems like there's a moment where people realize, okay, my suicide attempt wasn't successful, so I better hurry up and get fixed so no one will worry about me.
Yeah.
But you got to have so much more experience with it.
Well, I work on a psych unit, so unfortunately, and just last week, a week and a half ago, we had a completed suicide. So yeah, it's COVID has made things so much harder. People are feeling more desperate, more depressed, more hopeless. So I actually made a new tool. It's called, I didn't make it, I repurposed it. It's called HOPE, and the original tool was for helping people with grief. And I'm using it now to help people have hope after having a brush with suicidal thinking or an attempt. So I'll share that with you another time because I don't have it memorized.
Yeah.
But I've been putting time on it. And I'm after my triad yesterday, my coaching triad, I decided because it's Suicide Awareness Month to do a mastermind around suicide prevention and use my tool. So I'm going to work on that all weekend and get that up towards the end of the weekend. So I'm excited about that.
And so I was just going to say, is this an opt-in gift? It's about to be.
The suicide course?
Yeah.
I would have to find a different place to put it because the platform that I would put it on, there's it makes you charge $40 minimum.
Yeah.
I don't know how to waive that at this point. I'm sure there's a way.
What platform are you playing on?
Mastermind.com.
I'm not familiar.
It's fairly new. It just launched. It's Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi and the ClickFunnels dude. Russell Brunson.
Gotcha.
They just put it out. So lots and lots of good marketing. I don't have anything out on it yet, but I'm one of their students, so I get to have free hosting on it
Oh, nice.
with free traffic. So.
Nice. So it's an offer, not necessarily an opt-in, but it's an offer you're going to have.
But I can do an opt-in prevention checklist people can have with them when they're worried about a friend or a loved one that's their word is thinking about suicide, then they can ask them some of the questions on the form.
I was just going to say, suicide prevention, is that for the person who feels suicidal, or is it for people
Could
observing someone?
I could do it either way, but usually it's someone observing, like they just get this feeling in their stomach, like, okay, this person's not okay. Now, what to do?
So I want to talk a little bit more about the book project.
Okay.
My book is Get Past Your Shit, 19 Stories of Imperfect People Who Prove You Can. Your story is in the book. When you heard about this project, why did you want to be involved?
It's so funny because at the dream conference I told you about, the Dream Builder, one of the things that was on my bucket list right away was I am going to write a book. And then I started to worry about the time frame of that because I had all these other things I wanted to do. And so when I saw your project and it was like one chapter, I was like, ah, I can do a chapter. It wasn't so overwhelming. But it was emotional still for me because a lot of stuff in that chapter, most people do not know. And so that's been part of like a little bit of a emotional struggle is worrying about protecting, my mom and then getting mad at her with other stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'm not protecting you anymore. When I write my full story and everything's coming out. So it's just been like a lot of emotions. There's been anger, there's been sadness, but there's also a lot of pride. Like it's some of the things in there, I tell my clients all the time that they need to talk about. So the fact I miss, I don't need to talk about it, decides to, I've gone to therapy and haven't told the therapist all the stuff in the chapter.
Yeah.
Some of them, but not how I put it in the chapter. It was like, this is a concise piece of history. It's not everything. I don't have 100% memory of everything, like in timeline, but that's okay because trauma survivors don't. So
Right.
why would I have it if other trauma survivors don't?
Right.
So I'm proud that I told it. Like even the things that feel embarrassing, like anything about sexual abuse always feels kind of embarrassing. Even though I didn't sexually abuse myself, so why should it be embarrassing to me? I didn't do it to myself. I didn't physically abuse myself. I didn't emotionally abuse myself. So I need to let other people be responsible for that.
We were blessed with a pretty amazing team on this book project. Karen Crompton has been our story coach.
Yes.
And you wrote your story, and then Karen gave you feedback. Did she have many curious questions for you? Did you enjoy that experience of working with her
I
as
really
a
did.
colleague?
That also was very reassuring to have someone that knew what the hell they were doing. So she has detailed questions, and I'm like, yes, I can give you that. I just don't know how to put it into the story. So
Yeah.
at some point, there would just be a few questions. I would type them out for her and gave her an idea where I thought it could go, but she definitely helped with the flow of the story.
So similar to you, I had a vision for writing a book about getting past your shit. And I had a vision for other people telling their stories, but for a while I held it as two different books.
Like that I would write my book about getting past your shit and publish this this story compilation. But when I actually got into it, I realized if that's what I'm trying to do, it might not happen this year. You know, there's like 70,000 words in this book, and I would have wanted another 70,000 words in my book. And so I let go of the goal of writing my own book and embrace the collaboration. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, I'm so grateful for the choice, because I love the book. I love how it's turned out. And when people get their copy of the book, they get to claim an extra training that complements it from me. And so some of what I would have put into the book goes into that training, and it's all working out beautifully.
What are your thoughts about volume two?
So yesterday I had a coaching call. I paid for a coaching call with Donna Kozik. Do you know Donna?
The name's familiar, but I don't know her now.
Donna teaches a course on like write your book in a weekend or something like that. Okay. But she has, one of her business models is running collaborative book projects. And when I had a question for her, I ran into a big like roadblock at Amazon where it doesn't give me more than 10 spots for co-authors. And I was like, oh shoot. And so I'm like, help, I need help. I know you do this all the time. And that was one of her first questions. She's like, oh, I didn't know you were doing these books. I'm like, no, I did a book. And no, I do not see a volume two. I don't. This is a massive project.
Yes.
And Karen, I would never do something like this without Karen, and her time is precious and worthy of pay. And I was really blessed. Karen and I, we have an equal value relationship in regards to the book project, where she's getting to participate in my coaching program in this next year. Like she gave this year of her life to the project. Now she's getting a full year of my coaching program. If I wanted to do another book project, I asked her, if you were going to do for someone else everything you just did for me to bring a collaborative book project home, what would you charge? And we determined that it would be somewhere around 20 grand.
Yeah.
Which makes perfect sense. You know,
it'll work.
Because damn, like when you guys see this book and you see the clarity of each of the stories, she's amazing. Every author had that same sensation of confidence because they knew Karen was going to be reviewing and giving them feedback and asking questions and helping them shape. And for me, there's two really distinct things that Karen did for me. One, she told me, cut that out a few times, where my introduction was getting too long. And at first I was really resistant to it. But then I thought, no, I can use it in the training. It doesn't have to be in the book. And then in the order of the storytelling, you know, sometimes when you're telling stories about getting past your shit, you're looping a little bit from what happened to now to, but what was the catalyst? Like, you know, I had several things I wanted to cover and she helped me decide the flow of it, which removed some possible confusion for people who are reading. She's so good at what she does.
She's really good.
And I'm not,
too. Really
I'm just going to be her biggest cheerleader for the longest time, because anybody who wants to be really proud of a book project needs to have a story coach. Yeah. I'm so glad you participated, Karen.
I'm really excited for him. I'm nervous. I don't know why. It's not like we're going to go on TV, right? Yet.
You said there's some things in the book that you've never talked about before. And I had a moment. So my stepdad, Sweet Pete, he's almost 80. This is the man who married my mother, who was the abusive alcoholic. But he married her, you know, long after I was grown and out of the house. And he doesn't know her. Like I know her, he knows a completely different woman. Yeah. And so we were at breakfast and I said, he's like, what's been going on? And I'm like, oh, we just finished the book project. Oh, book project? You wrote a book? Yes. And then I stumbled all over myself and changed the subject because I realized I don't want to put this book in his hands. I'm going into hero mode of I've got to protect him, but I can't fathom giving my beloved Sweet Pete this book and having him read about what she did to me. Just a note of that. But he's the only person in the whole wide world I'm uncomfortable with seeing the book. Everything else, it's like, hey, you're going to know a lot of things about me you didn't know before and shit I'm not necessarily proud of. Mm-hmm. But he's the only one. And not for my sake, for the sake of the woman that he remembers with great love and affection.
Right.
Is there anyone you just don't want them to see the book?
Well, first it was mom, but then, so in the book I wrote that she left him and filed for a divorce. The divorce is final, but there's a rumor, and I don't know if it's true, that she's moving back and hasn't told me yet. So I found it on the down low. And so I was just furious. And it's so dumb to be furious. I've known her my whole life, obviously. Like, I should not be caring what my mother does at this point, what bad decisions she makes. But it was just like, it just felt like a slap in the face because I was proud of her for 5 minutes of my life, you know? So I was like, anyway, it's more to like a lot of people even that know even just one or two things about my story. Like when I ran away, there was people that felt I was just a really bad teenager. They didn't know what was happening. They just made assumptions.
Yeah.
And so I hate the thought of people saying, oh, I bet she made that up or that's not true. It's like, that infuriates me when it happens to my clients, you know? They have tons of relatives who tell them, oh, that didn't happen. You're making that up. And, you know, so that just kind of sucks, but it is what it is. Like, I have to just not care about what people think. I'm so very proud of myself for writing it on paper. You know, I made it really real, and it also, I had more memories after that. So there's a lot that if I want to write a book, I have a lot of material.
Yeah. The fun thing for you as a participant in this project and knowing that you want to write a full book of your own is that with the publication of this book, you become a published author. You're going to have an Amazon Author Central page so that, you know, when people are looking around for you, you can point out that you're a published author, and then when your book comes out, you know, it just builds on that platform. What else are you doing with content? What else do you want to do with content to put your expertise and your stories out in the world?
Well, I'm very much interested in like motivational speaking too. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily TEDx or whatnot. I mean, I guess that could be a possibility. But I want to get my podcast up and running. I bought this cutest little book. I'm going to show you. I know podcast listeners can't see it, but it's called The Podcast Journal.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes step by step on what to do. So I'm working through that now.
Nice.
I also have a course I'm taking that's a therapist running a podcast and everything they did to get it up and running. So doing podcasts, doing more speaking engagements. I do have a website. Kat is helping me with making it more functional. The tech has been a huge headache for me with that. So I will do more blog posting. What else with content? And, you know, making courses and things too.
Yeah. So I will link in the show notes to healthrivedream.com so you guys can go check out what Karen has available to you if you want to learn more and spend time with Karen. Karen, thank you so much for making time to be having this conversation with me. Thank you for being part of the book project.
Thank you for having me.
And right now, as we record this, you're participating in the Stretch Yourself Challenge. Which team are you on?
I am very shiny this year.
Team Shine. Woohoo! Well, I wish your team all the best.
Thank you so much, Kelly.
Hey, you're back with Kelly here in episode number 49 of Love People and Make Money. I have talked myself a little hoarse today doing interviews and recording the podcast. Thank you for spending this time with me. I do want to tell you again where you can get the book. Go to getpastyourshit.com. If you're listening to this episode before October 8th, would you please wait and buy the book on October 8th? That would be amazing. We're trying to sell as many copies as we can on launch day to see where we can get. What's the highest rank we can reach in 24 hours? That would be super fun. When you go to getpastyourshit.com, you'll be able to click over to Amazon and buy the Kindle or the paperback version. The Kindle version is only $2.99. And when you do that, you can come back to the website and claim a gift from me, the Get Past Your Shit Group Coaching Intensive. It's running live from November 3rd through the 19th. There are 6 sessions, 2 a week for 3 weeks. This would normally be a $497 group coaching intensive, but it's my gift to you for supporting the book project. So claim your access. If you're listening to this after November 3rd when the intensive has already begun, you're going to be able to get access to it as a self-study. Which means you'll be able to watch all of the video replays and use the workbook I've designed to self-coach. And so I want this to be an evergreen resource that every person who ever buys the book is going to be able to get it. Because when you read these stories, you're going to want to get past your own shit. See you next time, everyone. Bye now.